Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to another episode of Living Well with Kathleen Saunders, your weekly podcast where we discuss the financial, physical, spiritual, and social well-being of everyday people like you and me. The information shared in this show is for general information purposes only and should not be used to make any personal changes to your lifestyle or health without consulting the appropriate financial, medical, or healthcare professionals. My guest today is Dr. Fiona Smulders. Fiona, as we call her in our lectures, is a naturopathic doctor with a passion for sparking a deep love and respect for nature. She shares her passion for herbal medicine and natural health through her work as a naturopathic doctor, workshops, facilitator, and instructor at the Bouchard Institute of Naturopathic Medicine and the Institute of Holistic Nutrition. She is deeply grateful to be able to do this work on the unceded territories of the coast of Salish peoples. All right. Well, hello, Fiona, and thank you so much for being my guest today.
Hi, Kathleen. Yeah, it's an honor to be here. I'm really excited to be on one of your episodes for your wonderful podcast.
Awesome. You know, I'm so excited for today's show and having you share with us about herbal medicine and how we can use them for our well-being. So why don't you go ahead and, you know, just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in herbal medicine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this journey. I feel like everyone has this story mm-hmm. of how they came to be doing what they're doing today. So for me, I think plants have always been a part of my life. So my mother always had a garden. So growing up, I always spent a lot of time with plants and connecting mm-hmm. with plants there. But it wasn't until about 15 years ago when I traveled to the Amazon rainforest in Ecuador. And mm-hmm. I was there, I was volunteering, I was planting trees and I was working in a botanical garden. And there was a Quechua healer there, and he would take us out into the Amazon and teach us about the local plants that were growing there. And I was just amazed at mm-hmm. how much medicine there wow. was surrounding me at any moment in that Amazon rainforest. And during my time there, I actually, I've been taking anti-malarial pills because there's a lot of malaria in the area, and one of the pills got stuck in my esophagus and it created an ulcer. And I remembered that Quechua healer talking about this one plant that he called mother-in-law's tongue, because there was a long red leaf, I guess representing that mother-in-laws like to gossip a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. And I remember him saying that it was really good for like sore throats, for the mucous membranes. Mm-hmm. And so I just drank a tea and that completely healed the ulcer.
Oh, wow.
And so that just really opened my eyes to the possibility of herbal medicine. And then from there, I went into naturopathic medical school and then did additional training with medical herbalists, did my own studies, and it really took me down that journey of learning as much as I could about herbal medicine. And I'm still learning. This is a lifelong journey. Mm-hmm. There's so much to learn, yeah, within this field.
Wow, you know, that's amazing. You know, we just go out into nature. We don't even realize the benefits of some of the herbs that we're passing by. Maybe some people even squashing without realizing there's medicine in all the plants, many of the plants that we're interacting every day in our nature walk, right?
Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. There's so many medicinal plants here where we live in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. So even just walking along the sidewalks, I mean, there's plantain, there's dandelion. So all of those plants that we see that are so common are actually very medicinal and can be really healing for us.
Wow, that's amazing. So tell us, as an ND, how do you incorporate herbs into your practice?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because not all naturopaths use a lot of herbal medicine. Mm-hmm. So a lot of herbal medicine used in naturopathic medicine or in the form of capsules or tinctures. But I really like to connect my patients with the plants. And so I'm usually getting people to make their own tea blends and their own herbal remedies, because I find that that connection can really foster a deeper medicinal value from that formula.
Right.
So I usually formulate in the clinic, and I often actually work with the patient in formulating that. So through taking a history, getting to know their medical concerns, together we kind of choose the formula, and I have them make it sometimes so that they're again involved in that process. So I use tinctures, teas, topicals. There's a lot of different ways that people can use herbal medicine, but yeah, I really like that hands-on approach. And I also offer herb walks, so getting people outside in nature, and as you said, to learn about those medicinal plants that are growing all around.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. You said that you get your patients involved. So obviously this is not a difficult process. That means that's something that I could do too, if you're having your patients learn how to make tinctures and teas also. So that means it has to be pretty simple then.
Well, usually the tinctures I'm making with them in the clinic, yeah, but then the teas often there's lots of different stores around in Vancouver area where I live, so I'm often recommending, you know, visiting their local stores, getting to know the herbal stores around them, and then educating around which herbs are beneficial, and then they're formulating and mixing the teas themselves.
Okay, awesome. I'm just going to throw this question out there. On a herbal walk, approximately how many different medicinal herbs can you run into? I know that's a bit of a loaded question.
Well, it really depends where you're walking, but
Yeah, true.
I usually I like to take people to Jericho Park, and Jericho Park is on the traditional territory of the Musqueam people too, and I always want to acknowledge the people who have been taking care of this land for millennia, you know, far
Right.
far before I've arrived here. So Jericho Park of Musqueam Territory is a really accessible place, and I'd say within 10 minutes of walking through that park, you can definitely meet at least 10 different plants.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's awesome. That's really
Yeah,
awesome.
it's very accessible.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really no So that's almost like we've got herbal medicine and our ba at our back doors and we don't even realize
That's right. Yeah,
that.
those pesky dandelion plants, they're actually really medicinal.
Yeah, I'm going to start taking advantage of those. I used to, kill them as weed, but they are definitely got some benefits there. And speaking of benefits, what are some of the benefits of taking herbs?
Yes, well, herbal medicine is an ancient practice. I mean, pretty much most medicine or most therapy that's been used has been from herbal medicine until about the late 19th century when the pharmaceutical industry came in, just in the late 1800s. And so majority of the medicine has been herbal. So there is such a rich history of use with herbal medicine, and it spans throughout the world, right? Ancient China, Egypt, Africa, indigenous peoples of the Americas, Greek Roman Empire. There's history of use throughout the world of these herbs. So there's a lot of information, and it's really interesting when you dive into the traditional uses and today's more modern uses. There's a lot of similarities. So not very much has changed actually throughout the millennia. So the benefit is that there's this rich history, and we know that it's worked, and it's worked for millennia. And also the powerful part about plants is that they work with the whole body. It's a much more holistic approach. I find with pharmaceuticals, with medications, it's usually about controlling physiology, which is really important sometimes. And I'm not saying that pharmaceuticals are bad. We definitely need them, especially in emergency situations. But herbs work in a very different way. Instead of sort of controlling or suppressing a physiological response, the herbs work with the body and they support physiology. So a lot of them contain lots of vitamins and minerals. They contain these little plant chemicals called constituents that work and they help to balance our body and our physiology. So it's a very different approach, and I find it's a very holistic and preventative approach to our health.
Oh, that's amazing. That's great. So, the whole person, the whole well-being, it helps support, you're saying. That's
Yeah, and not
awesome.
just the physical body too. There's a lot of herbs that really help for anxiety, for racing thoughts, right? It can help in that mental approach. On the emotional too, there's a lot of herbs that can nourish heartbreak. One of my favorite herbs for that is rose petals. So there's a specific type of rose in this area called the wild rose or Nootka rose, and the petals are actually they're pink and they're the shape of a heart. So making a tea from rose petals, like it nourishes the emotional heart. So if we've had heartache or loss, it can just help to support and nourish that aching heart or loss that we might be feeling.
That will be so that would be a good tea for someone who's going through a breakup or something like that, or someone who's l gone through a loss of a loved one also, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that's amazing. Wow. So since we're on the talking about wild rose and different herbs, can you tell me about five medicinal plants and what are their benefits? You talked about this wild rose. What other ones can you tell us about?
Yeah, there's so many.
I know you could go on. Just
I
give us five. Just give us your top five.
know. Okay, well, let's see. Definitely one of the my top ones would be raspberry leaf.
Okay.
So, and this is literally the wild raspberries that
I
are
drank that
growing.
tea today, by the way.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, and it tastes really good too. It's a
Yeah.
little earthy, but it has a little of the sweet notes of the raspberry. So raspberry leaf, the reason why I love it so much is because it's a true woman's herb. So it's a herb that can be used for all stages of a woman's life. So that tea of the raspberry leaf, it can be used for period cramping, like the aching and cramping that women might experience during their periods. It relaxes the muscles and reduces pain. It's used in pregnancy, more in the second and third trimester, and also to prepare for pregnancy, because it really works with the uterus. It helps to prepare the uterus for the stretching that's going to occur and strengthens the muscles so that during labor, it actually facilitates that process more easily. And then postpartum, it can help to return the uterus to its original size after it's been stretched by the growing baby. And then when women reach that menopause stage, it also contains some phytoestrogens. And so those can also help mitigate some of the symptoms like hot flashes or insomnia, mood changes that can happen during menopause. So this is a plant that really can span across all stages of a woman's life. And it's a very safe herb too. It's very nutritional. There's lots of vitamins and minerals in it. It's a wonderful herb for women's health.
Awesome. That's great. And so that's a tea that all women should have on their shelf then.
Yeah, it's a wonderful one.
So yeah, I just wanted to ask you, how would you take that? How do you know of how much of the herb to actually use?
Yeah, so with teas, typically the dose is 1 teaspoon per cup of water.
Okay.
And because it's a leaf, so you can use the dried leaf. You would just bring the water so it's a hot temperature, and then let the herb sit in the hot water. To get a medicinal tea, it's good to let that infuse for 10, even 15 minutes, so that the hot water pulls out all the nutrients from the leaves and all of those healthy constituents that can really help. I also just want to note too, although raspberry leaf is really safe, all the herbs that I'm going to talk about today, you do, just for the listeners, you really do want to work with a healthcare practitioner to make sure that it is going to be safe for you, because yeah, there can be some interactions.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and then for some of the other plants, I'm seeing in my practice, I'm seeing a lot of anxiety. And insomnia, stress, is a lot of mental health things arising right now with COVID and so many lifestyle changes that we're experiencing. So a few good herbs that I like to use for anxiety and stress would be lemon balm. So lemon balm is really good for anxiety that's affecting digestion. Like, I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You have to do a big presentation, but then right before you have to run to the bathroom, right? Or maybe you get a lot of gas and bloating. That's more associated with stress and anxiety. Lemon balm is really good at reducing the anxiety and then easing that digestion too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, another really nice one is ashwagandha, and this one's so popular. So as you know, I'm also a teacher. I teach at the Institute of Holistic Nutrition and the Boucher Institute of Naturopathic Medicine. And every single time I talk about herbs good for stress and anxiety, ashwagandha is always top of the list. for the ones that my students like. So this is a really, really powerful herb. It's an Ayurvedic herb from India, and it's very, very grounding. So it's the root of the plant that's used. So it helps to kind of ground us. So we're not in our thoughts, in our mind, you know, feeling that anxious, high cortisol state that ashwagandha kind of brings us back down to reality, into our body, and reduces that anxiety.
I was actually wondering if that was going to make it on your top five.
Yes, definitely.
My ears were perked to hear if you were going to talk about ashwagandha, because yeah, that is a powerful, powerful herb indeed. And I use it myself. Yeah, I really do like it too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, really good for insomnia too, especially if people who have difficulty sleeping. Mm-hmm. If people have the that racing thought, like that hamster wheel in the mind that just, you know, can't stop thinking about what's happening the next day, ashwagandha can help to kind of slow and stop that hamster wheel so that you can actually get a good rest.
Oh, that's excellent. I've got someone that I can refer that one to.
Good.
Okay.
And then St. John's wort would be another one too, which is really common. St. John's wort is considered a nerving tonic. So that means that it strengthens the nervous system. So a lot of the time when we're under long-term stress and anxiety, we start to get a little bit fried. Our nervous system gets a bit fried, and we start to get a bit agitated, irritable, on hyper alert with that nervous system. Mm-hmm. So St. John's wort can help to soothe the nervous system, to strengthen it so that we're more capable, we have more resilience towards stress. So that's a really nice one too. But there is, with St. John's wort, you have to be careful. It's really well known for its antidepressant effects, okay. But it does interact with a lot of antidepressant medications. So that's just something to be, with all the herbs, you always want to just check in to see if it's going to be safe for you.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I'd say in my cup of tea right now, I've got some lemon balm. What did I put in here? Stinging nettle and gotu kola. So those two are also really nice restorative herbs. The nettle and gotu kola, they have a lot of vitamins and minerals. Nettles is, I like to think of it as a multivitamin.
Okay.
In itself. So instead of taking my multi, I just usually make a strong tea of nettle. So nettle has lots of iron, magnesium, calcium, B vitamins, vitamin A, lots of nutrients in there. And it's also considered an adaptogen, which helps us to adapt and be resilient for stress. So that's definitely one that I usually drink every day, is that stinging nettle, to help to restore that integrity.
So that's that stinging nettle on its own, or that combination that you just mentioned, the lemon balm, stinging nettle, and sorry, what was the third one that you said that you had in your
Third one is gotu kola.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's another regular one too. That one's also an adaptogen, so helping to adapt with stress. And it's also it helps our connective tissue. So for, you know, all those folks out there that are, you know, thinking about supporting their hair, skin, and nails, mm-hmm. it's kind of this beauty herb, gotu kola, along with horsetail. It has the minerals to help to strengthen our connective tissue, so the collagen within our hair, skin, and nails, and joints too. It's good for arthritis and those types of conditions. So very strengthening to our body and restorative to our body is the gotu kola. And a perk of it too is that it can help, which is usually why I drink it, is it helps to bring blood flow to the brain.
Wow.
So it delivers a bit more oxygen, more nutrients to our brain. So it actually can help you think a little bit more clearer, make you a little bit more alert, more responsive. So that's definitely a winner with the beauty. Yeah, hair, skin, and nail, and to make us a little bit more sharp with our thinking.
Mm-hmm. Some of these herbs don't quite taste very nice.
Yeah.
Is there something that we can kind of camouflage the taste with?
That's a really good point, Kathleen. I know my taste buds have changed,
I
don't often notice the earthy taste that usually comes with some, especially nettles can definitely taste a bit earthy. So the lemon balm can help with that. The lemon balm usually adds a lemony flavor, or I usually add either peppermint, ginger, or lavender. So those can really change the taste of the tea. They're very strong flavors, and they can really help to mask some of the more bitter and earthy tones of other teas.
Awesome, really good. So was that our five? I'm just trying to backtrack to see if we
Oh,
did we got
I
if we
think I
got
went over.
did you So the first one you mentioned was the raspberry leaf was the first one, right? And then I think for anxiety was two, and that was lemon balm. Ashwagandha was three. St. John's, yeah, you did go over. That's all good. St. John's Wort was fourth for that. So that was the Nervine tonic. That was good for soothing the nervous system. Yeah. And that was also that you had to be careful with that because that could interact with if you were on antidepressants.
That's
that,
right.
that's
Yeah.
correct. Okay. Also the goticola, we got to get a taste of to what you've got in your cup presently, which was the goticola, the lemon balm, and the nettle. And the nettle was what I take away from you was that it's a multivitamin. It's an adaptogen. But it also could work as a multivitamin. So I made sure I made note of that one because that's definitely a go-to that I'd like to use. And the goticola also was good to help bring the blood flow to the brain, good brain support.
Yeah, and good for the connective tissue.
Good for the connective tissue.
Yeah. Also. Yeah, good summary.
Got to take some good notes here.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was amazing. That was some really useful information. And these are herbs that we can find in our herbal store. These aren't any, we don't have to ship off with these types of herbs or anything like that. We can just go to our regular herbal store and find these herbs there, right?
Yeah, usually go-to cola might be a bit harder to find, but the stores, if people are listening, if you're in the Vancouver area, the ones that usually have the best selection are Finlandia on Broadway and Spruce, and Gaia Garden, which is Broadway and McDonald, and then Quiditas, which is Commercial and Third.
Okay, brilliant.
And then Kathleen, I remember you mentioning to Sweet Cherubim, is it on Commercial?
Yeah, that's the one that we go to, Sweet Cherubim. Yep.
So that's a good one as well.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. So those would have the most options.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Those tips.
Also, sorry, I just wanted to add for those that aren't in Vancouver, Harmonic Arts is a really good online source. And they're based on the island, on Vancouver Island. So Harmonic Arts, if you want to order them online.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Now, you know, the herbs that you just mentioned, those were some top medicinal herbs I asked you to share with us and some of the benefits. Would you say, are those the same herbs? Because my next question to you now is, what are your five favorite herbs? Would that be repeating the list, or do you have a different list from those herbs that you just mentioned just now?
Those my favorites often they change often because usually with herbs they can change with the season. So usually in the fall and winter time roots are really nice to have. So that ashwagandha would be really good because that's a nice rooted herb, and that just helps with that grounding. It kind of connects with what's happening in our environment too. And then spring and summer is a really good time for leaves and flowers when those parts of the plant come out. So sometimes that changes depending on that season, but in general, definitely the nettle and goticola would be on the top five. And then I'd say rose petals again. Rose petals just adds dried rose petals are so beautiful. I find when I add it to a tea combination, it makes me want to drink it more because it's just so pretty, and it adds a really nice flavor to the teas as well. And then it gives you that self-love and support for the heart. And then some of my other favorites, ones that I haven't talked about yet, one of them is holy basil. So holy basil is also called tulsi, and this is another Ayurvedic herb similar to ashwagandha. So holy basil is a wonderful herb that that helps her protect against helps us protect or helps to protect us against physical, emotional, mental, and chemical stress.
Okay.
So it's an adaptogen, so it helps us to adapt to those stressors, and then it can also protect us from pollutants, so that's like chemical stress. So it can help to sort of cleanse our body of certain pollutants that we might be inhaling or taking in through the food. So it has a cleansing effect as well as a protective effect against stress.
A light bulb went off in my head. I just wanted to clarify now. So if a person's got lots of toxins in their body from the environment and so forth, is holy basil a recommended herb?
Yeah. So holy basil can help because usually those chemicals cause physical stress on the body too, right? It's really hard on our tissues for that. So the holy basil can help to restore that. Another really good cleansing herb that I've talked about too is the nettle again. So nettle is also very cleansing to our tissues, cleansing to our body. And then dandelion too. So the pesky dandelion in your yard that you're trying to get rid of, that most people are, that's actually really, really cleansing to our body. It really helps our liver to process toxins, to metabolize toxins, to get them out of our body. And then it helps to move those toxins out of the body as well. So those would be really good cleansers for that reason.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And then another one, which is very, very common, but I love it, is green tea. It's so great. It's so good for you, too. If you get a good quality green tea, it's really, really high in antioxidants. So that can help with inflammation in our body. It can help strengthen our blood vessels, our cardiovascular system, even our skin and connective tissues again. So really, really protective. It can also protect against different cancers too. There's certain extracts of green tea that have been used to treat and prevent against different cancers. So it's a really, really powerful, and I find it's usually undervalued herb. So getting a nice, good quality green tea can be a really good choice for your health.
I think you said the key word there, a really good high quality green tea, because so far I've been taking green tea and I haven't found one that really sits well with me. Maybe I have to go to a herbal store because I've just been using maybe the store-bought brands. And I know green tea is great. I hear all the benefits, but it just doesn't sit right with me. I feel like it burns my chest. So I keep trying. I'm still trying to, you know, find one that will agree with me. I haven't had much success yet. So I'm going to keep, maybe you can refer me later on. Tell me of the brand that you use. Maybe I can, or where you get yours from. Maybe it's better to get loose, because actually, in all honesty, I haven't used it loose. I've used it in the tea bag form. So that might be the reason too. So
yeah. Advise me and and the steep time. So green tea is unique in that it's really just 1 or 2 minutes for steeping. So it should be a very, very short steep. And you've probably experienced, if you've steeped green tea for too long, you get these tannins, they're called, and your mouth, it kind of dries out your mouth, and it can irritate your esophagus, so that might be what might be the problem. So just try a really quick steep of the green tea and see if that helps.
All right, great, that's good. Excellent. Getting some good tips and some excellent learning here going on. But you know what, as I did mention that I might like to share with my listeners today, that Fiona actually was my teacher at IHN, and I've asked her to come on and share because I learned so much from her, and I thought that you, my podcast listeners, will benefit from all the information that she's sharing today. And I'm sure you all are benefiting just as I am listening to her yet again. So thank you for the powerful information that you have shared with us and continue to share with me today.
Thank you, Kathleen. That's very nice.
Yeah. So what are the different ways herbs can be used? I know we mentioned a few infusion and teas. Are there other ways that we can get benefits, different ways that we can use those herbs?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of different ways that we can incorporate herbs into a daily practice or into medicine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, I guess it's easiest to divide the methods into internal and external. So do we bring it into the body or do we apply it to the outer body? So the ways of taking the herbs as medicine internally would be as the tea. And as you know, Kathleen, I'm very can be a bit strict about the word tea, even though I've said it a million times
Yeah,
already. But
I was like, oh, Fiona's saying tea,
yeah,
not
she's
infusion.
saying it. Yeah, because tea, there's two different types of teas, you could say. There's that decoction and an infusion. So an infusion would be letting herbs sit in hot water, which is the normal tea that we think about. And that's really good for lighter material, like the leaves and the flowers, and those types of materials. And then for things like the ashwagandha, which is the root or dandelion root, right? The roots of the plants or the bark or the really dense material of the plant, you actually boil them. So it's called a decoction. And so you put it on the stove and you bring the water to a boil and you let the herb boil. And simmer in that water for a good 10, 15 minutes. And so that, because the herb material is so dense, you need more heat and more time to pull the medicine out of that material. So yeah, decoction or infusion, if you want to get technical. So those would be those forms. And then yeah, tinctures and a lot of people don't like the alcohol component of tincture. And you don't have to use alcohol. You can use vinegar, so you can actually infuse herbs in apple cider vinegar. So you would just fill a jar with, I like to do that with nettles, so you fill a jar with dried nettles and then cover that with apple cider vinegar and just let that sit in the fridge for about 2 to 3 weeks and then strain that out, and the vinegar pulls out those vitamins and minerals from the herb, and then you have a really nice potent vinegar that you can use in salad dressings and food, or just taking a little apple cider vinegar shot.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's really, really powerful. And then some of the listeners might have heard of fire cider before too. So fire cider is using horseradish and garlic and onion, ginger, really potent herbs, and you let that sit in apple cider vinegar and with some cayenne too, and then you strain it out, and it is a powerful
Wow.
powerful medicine, really
Wow.
good for cold and flu season,
Okay, uh-huh.
very warming, very moving, good for kind of mucus and that phlegminess sometimes you get with a cold and flu.
Fire cider. Okay.
Fire cider.
I'm going to remember that one.
Yes, you will remember it if you try it.
I bet. I
Yeah.
bet.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
And then yeah, there's so many. I could honestly go on. So syrups too. So you can infuse herbs into honey, which is really delicious. And I really like doing that for kids too, because it tastes so nice and it's a really easy way of using herbal medicine for them. So elderberries, schisandra, a lot of the berries you can infuse into honeys and syrups. You can eat herbs as food, of course, and then in capsules too. So that's probably one of the more common ways of using herbal medicine, is you can buy capsules of different herbs, and that often has a very concentrated amount and could be a good way of getting herbs in higher doses.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried making my own capsules with the ashwagandha, and I still have them. I do take them on a daily basis. And again, as you mentioned before, the ashwagandha is really powerful. And, I do notice a big difference in my health since I've been taking that. So, yeah, that's a
Oh,
powerful one.
wonderful.
Yeah, that's a powerful one. As you said, you could go on and on and on with the different methods of using the herbs. But tell me, are there any dangers into using herbs? I know you mentioned that one of the herbs, I think it was St. John's wort, that you had to be careful with that one for any interactions with antidepressants. But are there any other negatives or any dangers to using herbs?
Yeah, that's a really important question, because herbal medicine is becoming a lot more mainstream, very popular, and very accessible to everyone. It is really important to be mindful, because it's a powerful medicine, and so that comes with some responsibility in how to take it. So Yes, there can be many interactions with different medications. And so if somebody is on one or more medications, really important to work with a healthcare practitioner to make sure that the herbs won't interfere with their medications. Also, there's toxicity levels of different herbs. So some herbs, if you take too much of it, it can cause physiological reactions. So it could cause allergic reactions, or it might, ramp up heart rate or blood pressure, breathing rate. And so you have to be mindful. Usually the herbs that are more on the toxic level aren't as easily accessible, but you still have to, use texts. So using herbal books to check the dose, right? How much of this should I be taking? And staying within the recommended dosing on the bottle that you buy is a really good idea, because you can definitely overdo it.
Yeah, that
And
makes
then
sense.
the more subtle interactions, you could get into constitutions too. So Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, they really look at the constitution of a person, and then there's a constitution of a plant. So if, say, somebody has a very hot constitution, so they're often really warm, maybe they get angry a bit more easily than other people, maybe there's some inflammation there. If that person took a plant that was also very warming and heating to the system, that could aggravate that person. So that's on more of a subtle level. That's probably not going to cause a medical emergency, but it just probably won't, that herb won't help that individual, and it might aggravate their symptoms or the condition that they have. So it is really important, although this is very accessible, to still work with someone, or at least use herbal books and texts to help guide you in choosing the right formula.
Awesome. Yeah, that makes sense. It's no good trying to heal yourself with herbs and then ended up making yourself sick, or worse by taking the wrong dosage or messing up with using these herbs. So that's good information to know. So I was going to ask you about medication, and I think you just answered that about being careful. You can't. So you the question I was going to ask: can you take herbs and medication together? And I think you address that.
Yes, you can. Different herbs, they can either make the medication more potent or less potent, and both can be dangerous situations. Like if we think about blood thinners, there's a lot of herbs that can actually enhance the effect of blood thinners, and that could be a very dangerous situation. Or there's other herbs that would interfere with other medications, like blood pressure medication. So maybe it's going to make it less effective, and so then blood pressure might go up. So either situation, you definitely want to just work with a professional so that you're doing that safely, but you definitely can take herbs with medications.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And again, and you said it again, and I'm gonna say it right behind you, work with a professional. Definitely, there's a reason why it's stressed to work with a professional because things can go wrong. That's not your intention, but things can go wrong. So in order to make sure that you prevent that, the best thing is to work with someone who has experience in herbs and knows exactly what they are doing. Awesome. So, I wanted to ask you a few more questions actually. From someone wanting to start growing a herb garden, what's the easiest herb would you say for them to begin with?
Yeah, I would say anything in the mint family. And you might regret
Oh
it
yeah.
because these plants really can take over. They grow so easily that they could just take over your whole garden. So it's nice to keep them a little bit separate, maybe in a pot, or to separate them in the garden. And when I say mint family, that goes beyond just peppermint. So lavender, lemon balm, rosemary, oregano, thyme, sage, those are all plants in the mint family.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you can tell if a plant's in the mint family by their stem. So if you feel the stem, The stem is square as opposed to round.
Okay, interesting.
And yeah, so all herbs in that mint family will have that square stem, and it usually has a nice aroma, as all of those herbs do, right? They smell really nice and strong.
Okay.
Yeah, so any of those herbs would be a good place to start, and just be careful because they're very a bit too easy to grow.
All right, awesome. That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right, so that's again, you've given us some powerful information. We can get going and start looking into getting some herbs for our well-being and, for whether it be cough syrups. I do want to talk about the time when we made the elderberry syrup, cough syrup. That was amazing. It's a really good and easy. It's not too difficult. So that was definitely something that I enjoyed making with you. I was just thinking about the way how the world has changed, that you were actually instructing us via Zoom on how
Yes.
how to make this cough syrup. But and again, that is good for children. That's good for anyone, really, right? You recommend that for anyone, and something that we can stock up on or should have in our fridge even now in this cold, this flu season, as a syrup, cough syrup.
And as you said, it's so easy, and that's what I love about herbal medicine, is it seems really intimidating when you first start to get into it, but once you start making them, it's actually really quite simple when you start to get into the flow of it. So yeah, very accessible, and yeah, that elderberry syrup is so delicious.
Awesome. Simple is for me because I don't have much time. My time is precious. I'm doing interviews all the time, aren't I? And I'm in
That's
school
right.
learning. So
Yeah.
once it's simple, that works well for me. So Fiona,
Yeah.
awesome. So Fiona, I just wanted to ask you, do you have anything else, that you'd like to share with my listeners today in regards to herbs and, herbal medicine?
Thanks for asking that. I think one aspect of herbal medicine that's often missed is the ethics around herbal medicine. And this is something that I'm really trying to dive a bit deeper into, of, how to use herbs, not only in a safe way, but in an ethical way. And so, because there's actually a lot of herbs that are at the risk of extinction because of overuse. So herbs like sandalwood, echinacea, arnica, kava, American ginseng. So a lot of common herbs, and white sage too. So the sandalwood and sage for that smudging or aromatherapy. They've been overharvested to extinction, and so it's really important that we're looking at the source of the plants that we're choosing to use. There's a really good resource to use to take a look at which herbs might be at risk of extinction. That's called unitedplantsavers.org. So United Plant Savers, and so they have a list of all the herbs that are at risk of extinction. So it's really good to not buy those herbs, or to not buy them wildcrafted. So wildcrafted means that people have harvested them from the wild, and because the numbers are really dwindling, we don't want to push that further into extinction. So if you are going to choose those herbs that they've listed, getting them from farms or farms that have cultivated them themselves, so you're not contributing to that further extinction. And then also looking at companies, looking at their fair trade, right? The people that are picking and growing these herbs, are they compensated in a good way? How is the herb grown too? That can also affect the quality of the herb, right? If the herb is not grown in a healthy environment, then that herb's probably actually not going to be as strong
True.
or as potent. And then the final aspect of ethics that I wanted to cover is looking at the reciprocity with plants. So I think there's a common sort of relationship between people and plants that's a very take relationship. So, we're picking, we're using them, but we're not really giving back very much. And so I really like to use that philosophy of reciprocity and respect. and gratitude when I'm working with plants, especially if I'm picking them myself. So
Right.
I might pick some berries and then maybe disperse some of those seeds so that more of those plants can grow.
True. That's awesome. Yeah.
There's something called the Honorable Harvest, the concept made by Robin Wall Kimmerer. She's an author and a botanist, and she's from the Potawatomi Nation. And she talks about, how to harvest and how to work with plants honorably by respecting the plants and then also acknowledging the lands, who, of the people that have taken care of those lands for millennia before, we've come and started to pick those plants. So just little things that I wanted to add in there, just to consider, if you are going to go harvesting yourself, or if you're going to, choose different companies, really looking at those aspects and making sure that that's done in an ethical way.
I'm really glad you shared that, because a lot of us don't think about the ethics around the harvesting or the growing of the plants. So that's really great information for sharing. I just wanted to repeat again, you mentioned it was unitedplantsavers.org, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
United Plant Savers.
Savers.org. Yeah, and that's where you go to be able to look into a plant that is, I wanted to use the word extinct. That's not the
Well, it is though. Yeah, they're at risk of extinction.
Yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
so yeah, that's where you find it. And they have a lot of really good resources
Okay.
on all the other aspects that I mentioned as well. So yeah, really good site to take a look at that.
Awesome, beautiful. And showing appreciation, the plants are going to do some amazing work for us. We want to be thankful to the plant. And I guess that's the kind of whole part of being ethical way that you're looking at it also too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. It's a relationship.
Yes. People plant relationship, you said. Yeah, awesome. Brilliant. Yeah,
Exactly.
yeah. You know, I just want to go back to the garden. You were talking about gardening and growing herbs, and I wanted to read this quote that I found. It says, "If you have a garden and a library, you have everything you need." And I thought that was so amazing.
That's so beautiful. I love that. That's so
Yeah.
true.
It is,
I'm the
isn't it?
happiest when I am in the garden or in my library.
Yeah. So many people say that it's very therapeutic to be in the garden, you know, touching the soil, you know, pulling up the weeds and things like that. They find that very therapeutic
That's
also.
right. Yeah, you don't even have to, take the plant. You can just be with the
Right. Be
plants.
with the plant. That's so true. So very true. Awesome. You know, Fiona, I want to thank you so very much. You've shared so much information with us today. And I just want to let you know I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Just thank you. I appreciate you so very much. Thank you for, you know, sharing all your knowledge on herbs and herbal medicine with us today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen. Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity to connect with you again. Yeah, I really enjoyed the class that we had together, and I look forward to following your podcast
Awesome. Great. Please do. All
too.
right. Take care and enjoy the rest of your day.
You as well. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed the topic and found something that you can apply to your own life. Don't forget to share this episode with your family and friends. And remember, live well daily.